Carlos. Steve's here. It's First Take with Lando and Chavis.
Also here, Ray Mark Rinaldi, the fine arts critic at the Denver Post, here to talk about the CSO and downtown venues. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, man. Great to have you with us. And it's been a busy week to write about the Colorado Symphony Orchestra. First, your piece that came out on the 28th about where they're going to be in their negotiations with the city and county of Denver. And then this marijuana concert for the CSO, which kind of took everything by storm.
Yeah, the marijuana concert turned everything on its head last week. I got calls from all over the country about that one.
But, you know, symphonies are pretty much doing everything they can to get people introduced to classical music.
Yeah, I would say that's true, but ours is the only one who's inviting people to smoke pot during their concerts.
Yeah, and there's a company, I guess one of the production companies that are help putting this on is a company that is looking to market other events that have something to do with cannabis, whether it's edibles or whatever.
Yeah, there's a nice little handshake going on between the symphony and the cannabis industry. The symphony wants more people and younger people, and mm-hmm. that's the marijuana crowd. And marijuana wants legitimacy. Like, they're trying to up their image. And if they can link their brand with the Colorado Symphony brand, I mm-hmm. think they think they're in a good place.
Yeah. Well, you know, in all fairness, okay, it seemed like that would be a logical extension. But in all fairness to the symphony and the way that they've been putting their programs and their seasons together in recent years, they've been heading in that direction for a while with the programs, the shows up in Red Rocks with some, you know, rock themes and rock bands.
Yeah, they for a long time have done Blue Jean concerts. I mean, that 20, 30 years ago, but now it's like really the music itself is broadening.
Yeah, and they've been playing at Red Rocks, you know, mm-hmm. pairing with Pop Axe, Devotchka.
Yep.
The thing is, the musicians there, they've smelled marijuana smoke before. They've played Red Rocks. They're not going to be shocked when that smell comes wafting up on stage.
The ventilation systems are important, I'm sure, right? We were wondering about the venues because we were talking before about, you know, downtown is, you know, got to have the Broadway shows that tour the country and stop in Denver. We got to have a classical orchestra here, and it's got to be downtown. You want a place where you can put on your duds and there's stuff happening.
Yeah, we all hope that the orchestra stays downtown, but that might not happen. They do have to vacate Betcher Concert Hall, their home for 36 years, at the end of next season so that the city can do some serious and long overdue renovations. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that they're going to come back.
Well, they've been there for 36 years. So what does that mean? Other city venues? You mentioned some of the others that might get into the mix. We're trying to find the right number of seats to get in the right. What's the sweet spot?
Yeah, there is no sweet spot, unfortunately, for the symphony. There are other venues downtown, but they don't have the audio capability that an orchestra needs. Yeah. Or they're like Betcher already. They're too big. They're all 2,500 seats. The orchestra is still popular, still plays as good as it's ever played. It mm-hmm. just draws fewer people now.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, when all the stars are aligned and it's a beautiful night at the DCPA, and there's all these different things going on. In fact, the last time I was down there, it was Diane Reeves with her group in the symphony, Colorado Symphony Orchestra, and it was an incredible night. There was people everywhere, and I said, all these people coming to see Diane. Well, Diane had, there was 2,000 people at the symphony that night. There was 2,500 people over at Temple Buell. There was something else was going on over at the, I forget the name of the place.
We got the Source Theater and all that.
Well, the big place there that holds 800, I forget the name of it.
But the Ellie Calkins?
I think Ellie Calkins might have had something going on. You know, the ballroom, the one with the big windows.
Yeah, the Sewell Ballroom.
The Sewell Ballroom. Yeah. It was things, that night, it was like amazing. Everywhere there was people walking the streets. It was a beautiful night. It was like, wow, this is what this was built for.
Yeah, it's
to get people out.
It's Denver's personality now, that Denver Center for the Performing Arts. And everyone comes there from all different groups. Mm-hmm. So it's really defines the city some nights.
So one more question on the symphony. What are they going to do then? I mean, will they move to the suburbs? I mean, how's this going to play out?
Well, they don't quite know.
Okay.
And they better act fast because they've got 1 year to decide. And
wow.
you book those soloists, those great mm-hmm. classical violinists, you know, you book them a year or two in advance. Mm-hmm. So time's a wasting for them. They better find someone to hook a deal up with pretty quickly.
The renovations are, as you pointed out, long overdue. Let's try and get the sound right at Betcher.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. let's, what? And then there are some other, every hall sort of has its own idiosyncrasy in terms of, but we want to talk about the sound.
Yeah.
What does Betcher need? What does Ellie Calkins need, in your opinion?
Betcher just needs a little fine tuning. I think the science of acoustics has gotten so good now that you actually can fix halls. So Betcher needs a little bit of fine tuning. The Ellie Calkins needs a lot of fine tuning, I think. The orchestra played there accompanying the opera last night, Saturday night, and the musicians didn't sound all that good. I mean, they played very well, but the sound was just simply not bouncing off the stage and into the audience.
You know, it's interesting because Ellie Calkins is, you know, recently renovated brand new space, and at least this is what was told to me, that it's a place where in Opera House, you don't have sound systems, that the room is designed for you
voice.
To be able to hear naturally. Yeah. Now, they do supplement it a little bit because it's a big opera room. So it's almost inconceivable that this room would need help acoustically if it was designed that way.
Yeah, I have to say, though, acoustics are specific depending on what kind of music is on stage.
Good
An
point,
orchestra
Mark.
Needs a whole different set of criteria than the human voice does. Mm-hmm. And you can hear the human voice at Ellie up to the top, but it's not great for instrumental work.
Yeah, again, my reference point is always vocals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our hometown gal, Diane Reeves, has sang there as well with her group with minimal amplification, and it's been really nice. Same thing at the Betcher when she was there with the symphony. She sang there, and it was a little bit, the sound was kind of roving around up on the top, you know, which is what Betcher's known for. As she sang a tune, she put the microphone down and sang a tune without the mic.
Yeah, there was an issue, and she put the mic down.
She
and
just
sang.
Put it down and sang, and it sounded better than anything.
But, don't you love those moments when something goes wrong, but everything turns out right?
Yeah. But it was Diane Reeves. She could do that. She has the pipes. So
competition from the suburbs. There's a couple of places, Lone Tree and Parker, you mentioned, that might try and draw some big, you know.
Yeah, those are
big acts.
Nice halls. Both Parker and Lone Tree spent some bucks in the past couple of years building really nice.
Smaller?
They're smaller. They're probably in the 700 to 900 seat
still
range.
Still sizable.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's a bad deal for a lot of the concerts the CSO puts on.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not downtown, right? They'd have to draw their crowd down there. And, you know, some people think Lone Tree is a very long way from Denver.
It is.
Ray-Marc Rinaldi, a fine arts critic from the Denver Post. You mentioned in your piece that the orchestra audience, they're trying to diversify, get them, pull them in younger, more Latino. What's the prospect look like for that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it is a problem. The city recognizes that it's a problem. And I think, you know, it's going to try to find some way to bring some smaller groups in. It has to do some accommodating, maybe changing the size of halls, adding some walls so that they're more flexible. I think it has to do with giving financial breaks to smaller companies. Performing at those city-owned venues is very expensive. There's unions to pay, and there's, you know, big rooms to heat. If they could sort of subsidize that a little more, they might be able to diversify that place.
Ray-Marc Rinaldi, fine arts critic with the Denver Post, joins us to talk about the arts and the venues, and coincidentally, Denver's division called Arts and Venues.
Mark, thanks for taking time out and joining us this morning. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.